back to the Apple Music Cancellation Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am once again joined by Randy and Nick's ghost, who is alive this week. Yes,
hello.
There are alive
nice
ghosts.
Ghosts do exist.
To see you guys.
How are you guys doing?
Nice to see you out of California, so I know you're safe.
I do.
I know you're not going to be harmed.
I had to drive through like all of the fires in the country to get home. There are fires everywhere.
Not even on road.
Not even on the road.
Just off-road through the forest while it was burning.
I brought a sprinkler and a 5-gallon jug of water. So I did my part, people. I helped protect the forest. Mm-hmm. I didn't throw any waste out. And remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Only you, Cameron, who's listening to this. What the heck? Why did you leave a Note 7 in the woods?
During dry season, shame.
I'm curious. I know we talk a lot about Apple, a little company that some may have not heard of.
It's a little company,
a little bit of a startup.
Yeah. They started up.
They're doing okay. I mean, their stocks.
Yeah.
Their stocks
are
down
to like
100.
They were up at like 400. Now they're down at like 100. It's pretty sad, honestly. Like,
that's a pretty substantial stock drop for no external reasons.
Man.
However,
but interestingly enough, my shares, I seem to have gotten more shares. I don't know what's going on. I'm rich or something. They're just giving me free stock.
That was nice of them. See, startups do that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate them. Did either of you catch the Neuralink presentation?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I have not.
Oh, Randy, you haven't seen that?
Randy didn't get it. I got highlights of it because I had stuff going on and I was prepared to watch it at 3, but then it was like 40 minutes late, basically.
It was
so I wasn't able to watch. It was
good old Elon.
Classic Elon time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what did you think, Nick? Was it underwhelming? Was it overwhelming? Was it what you expected? Or how did that because that's not the type of presentation we get every day when it comes to technology.
No. Neuralink presentation is this is the second one in existence. They're very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was overall good. I was overall whelmed, though. I was not overwhelmed. I was not underwhelmed. I was just whelmed. And it was
super whelmed.
I was super whelmed. And it was kind of cool that like mm-hmm. they totally embraced the live show aspect of it with like the pig not wanting to come out. And like it was total cringe for like 4 minutes as Elon was like,
Oh my god.
Did this really just happen? Yeah, so that was
so I read about that. Was Gertrude the pig that had a Neuralink implant but didn't want to come out?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was because someone hacked into Gertrude's Neuralink and was like forcing her to like stay away. No. That's not how that works.
I was going to say, when it comes to live demos, does this mean if we have Neuralinks, we become antisocial, like Gertrude?
It means that we're socially
distanced.
So
in this case,
like
nothing
Gertrude.
Changes for Nick.
I'm sitting in a black hole, guys. I am a ghost right now. I am in the black hole of death.
That's
this
true.
Is not a green screen,
or
by
you've
the way,
downloaded.
Everyone. Not a green screen.
True.
This is a black hole of death.
We downloaded Nick's memories onto a robot body.
Exactly.
Using Neuralink.
Hi.
So that's how he's here.
Hi.
We're running the beta right now.
Nick
OS 14 beta.
Ooh, I like
Nick
that.
OS.
Nick OS.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to have to send an email.
Nick OS. Would you look at
Nicholas.
This?
Listen, Nicholas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there anything from the presentation that blew your mind, or was it all kind of stuff you'd heard before?
I saw the pun you fit in there.
No pun intended.
Nothing
blew your
mind. No. I think, actually, overall, the actual product that they demoed, I think it's a step backwards from their previous idea that they had. Cause in
how so?
Previous Neuralink, the one they showed us last year, there was an implanted mm-hmm. chip. And then it went to some wires with an inductive charger receiver that sat right behind your ear. And then there was this little puck with a battery and some other compute stuff that had, you know, radios and stuff. And it, you know, like magneted on behind your ear. And I really like that idea. Because,
like MagSafe.
Yeah, it's like MagSafe, but it's through your skin. There's no wires or leads or anything. It's just wireless. And I really like that idea because if I ever got one of these, which I'm kind of on the fence about, but I definitely need to be able to just unplug and like go to the mountains for like
deactivate
it, right?
Yeah.
Like just turn it off and, you know, focus or have some privacy, like, you know, just like no peace of mind that like I am my own person as George Orwell said in 1984, the only privacy you have mm-hmm. are the few centimeters between your ears. So
For now.
But with the original Neuralink, even if I had it in, I knew I could take out the battery and, like, you know, have that privacy back, right?
Yeah, I agree. But, I kind of like that.
But this new version, and charging it at night, right? So at night, with the old version, you could take off the little magnet thing and just plug it in on your nightstand mm-hmm. and go to sleep. And
like then, an Apple Watch.
Exactly, mm-hmm. like an Apple Watch. And then wake up and put it back on, and it would work, you know, just like normal. But their current version, mm-hmm. it, like, sits at the top of your head. They drill out your skull, which is what they're going to do but with the last one. But it's a bit bigger of a hole.
Easy peasy.
And then they stick this entire, like, looks like a stack of, like, dollar coins or something. And they stick uh-huh. that in there. And then they put your skin back over it. And it all just kind of sits there with super glue or something. and then Ooh. To charge it, you have to, like, put the little charger on your head. And I'm just like, how does charging it work, right? Do you have to, like, have this whole head strap? Because you're supposed to charge it at night, and I toss and
they
turn
didn't explain
all
that?
The time. They didn't explain it, not that I caught. I toss and okay. turn all night. So I know if there was, like, just some magnets holding that on, they would not stick on all night.
Yeah, no.
So there'd
no
have
way.
To be some kind
see,
of harness
I didn't see
or
the
something.
Whole – I watched, like, the highlight reels after mm-hmm. the fact, and I thought that it was something you could just – pull off like an Apple Watch puck and just like charge just that. But you're saying it's just implanted and then you have to
Everything
charge it next to your
skin.
Head?
Everything is under your skin.
Oh.
There's nothing. The battery, yeah. the computer, the radios are all underneath your skin. So that's,
I feel like that
that's
kind
of where I was like, I liked the old version a lot better. Just because, like, I don't know. There's something about just unplugging. Like, I can take my Apple Watch off. I can leave my phone here. And
yeah,
just
it
go
needs
somewhere.
A it needs a kill switch, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And if you know the sentient AI, you know, turns on whatever, I'd like to just be able to take it off before I turn into was
be
the,
like nope, nope,
villain
no, thank
from
you,
Infinity War or whatever that was. Randy, yeah. what do you think?
Well, it's fascinating. I think. Go ahead, Randy.
No. No, you go, Drew.
This is just okay. brain science, Randy. I'll it's super simple. The action potentials versus
it's
the,
very easy.
The leads. It's super simple. Barely an inconvenience.
Everyone knows how the brain works,
obviously. I mean,
super basic. I think it's fascinating stuff, especially when it comes to fixing neuro diseases,
yeah.
basically, because I think Elon is right in that aspect that pretty much – all of us are going to face some type of mental problem someday.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we're going
to
have friends or family
it.
Who do. It's
not something to be
right.
proud of, Randy.
Yeah. But we're all going to deal with that someday, even Elon. So I can kind mm-hmm. of understand for his own personal reasons wanting to be like, I should probably start working on ways to preserve my brain and make sure that I can continue using it as long as possible, and also just want to help people who struggle with that, whether it's Parkinson's or losing control of your legs, arms, all that stuff is really, really common. And not that they – honestly, from what I've read and watched, it feels like not an incredible amount of progress has been made. It feels like when I tuned into last year's stream, it was like – we want people to work for us. Please, you know, apply whether you work in computer science or processor design or neurosurgery, you know, please apply for Neuralink. And it feels like we watched this stream and it was like, please apply for Neuralink. We need more people. We need more people working. And it's like, okay, now we can read a pig's brain.
In
so
lifetime.
So we're working on,
which
you know,
was,
in lifetime.
That was the impressive part. Like, it was live.
Yeah. I would say that's probably the biggest upgrade from last year. And I'm sure behind the scenes there's been a lot of progress made and stuff like that. I just mean, like, in regards to Neuralink's impact today, it still is in the very much conceptual, like, well, we're starting to understand the language of the brain and trying to figure out how to implement that into human trials first and how far away that is. But it's a field that I'm absolutely for more research being done in because – Elon has a track record of doing the impossible and kind of tackling intentionally difficult fields that once we used to say, I don't think that could happen, and now it happened. So knowing that there's someone who has that good a track record going after something like, let's figure out if we can start merging technology and, you know, the intelligence, artificial intelligence alongside our limbic system and our cortex and figuring out how to expand the capabilities of the human brain. And I like the way he explains it as, like, we already are cyborgs because we can access so much information through our phones and through our computers. There's just a big lag there. There's a big amount of latency between your thumbs and the screen and the keyboard. And if we can start working on minimizing that lag so that you can one day just think of things to interact with, and, you know, it's very Black Mirror-esque and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to see that much. I don't think it's going to be, like, really, really fast. I don't think it's going to roll out next year and we can all buy it and tap in and now we're superhuman. Like, I think this could be decades before it turns into something we can actually buy and utilize. I think it's going to be in the research and development phase for many, many years to come. However, I'm glad it's being done now, because I'm excited to see where it is in 10, 20 years. Not so much next year or the year after that. I feel like it'll still be in the very, very early beta stuff. But either way, I don't know if I would feel comfortable doing it myself, but I'm glad to know that there are, you know, top men, people who know what they're doing, researching this and trying to figure out ways to, you know, heal people who have issues with their brain and then eventually expand capability. So it's not just fixing, it's also improving. But that's my whole opinions on it.
I don't think I can see myself doing it at all. There's this...
Ever.
I have this very, like... I have a problem of letting go of control. Like, I don't ever want to have surgery where I have to be put under anesthesia or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be put all the way.
You don't have to go under general anesthesia.
For the record, yeah.
Yeah. It's now
The point I'm saying is that, like, the idea of giving up control of anything and thinking that, like, someone could control my brain is this, like, nope, that's the last thing I have that's mine. That's what I mean by giving up control. I draw the line at where I'm able to function and think and all that here. Like, even if I'm neurologically flawed, I don't care because it's who I am, and I don't want no technology, no nothing. If I have a cancer or a tumor or whatever, that's different. Then I'm fighting to survive. But if it's, oh, hey, you, now you can communicate without opening your mouth, I'm good. I'm a talker. I'm good.
You can have consensual telepathy.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Right.
No. No. I'll just watch David Blaine do magic tricks instead and act like that's magic. I have no interest in letting my brain be like anybody else. You know, have at it if they're all willing. But I just feel like that's the last thing that I can control. And once I let go of that, I won't even in my brain, like in my mind, I won't even know when I die. And that's a weird, scary thought. Like that's I don't want to play God with that. That's not me. That's not
what's interesting is looking at history and context of technology and realizing how early things that we take for granted now are. You know, the hesitation people would have with smartphones or AirPods 100 years ago that we now take for granted because we grew up with it. We grew up used to it. Like, I was talking on the phone for the sake of healthiness. I was talking to my 94-year-old grandmother. You guys met her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when she was first growing up, planes were a very, very new thing. The idea of getting on a machine that will take you up into the sky. And she only has ridden in a plane once in her whole life when she was very, very young. Like teenage years, basically. And she had a cousin that was a pilot of like a crop duster. And she rode in it once and landed and said, I will never fly again.
Wow.
And she's now 94 and she's never gotten on a plane since that day because she didn't feel comfortable. She was like, I don't want to go there. I don't feel comfortable with this. And I talked to her a lot about her parents, which were born in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And they got to see their lifetime stretched from when they were a kid. The first powered flight took place in 1903. and they got to live to see the moon landing.
1907.
And I know this isn't the exact same technology application, but I think from a moral discussion, it's kind of similar in the sense that we're not comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It sounds scary to us because we know very little about it. And I feel like there's a lot of questions people have for Neuralink. The one I would have is, what can't it do? Because that's what I need.
Yeah.
I think we need some barriers set up with, what is Neuralink not capable of doing? Because everyone's asking, can it record memories? Can it play back memories? Can I play games in my head? Can I communicate? Can I play music?
Can I play games in my head?
Summon a Tesla?
I do that all the time. I play games in my head all the time.
I mean, like Minecraft.
H4.
In your brain. Yeah, no. Like, there's all these questions of, like, can it do this? Can it do this? And Elon's pretty much always like, yeah, theoretically, one day it would be possible. My question is, like, could Neuralink ever change my opinion on something? What part of the brain is able to say, like, Drew prefers this, Drew likes this, but if we send signals to this part of his brain, he will switch and now prefer this and now like this? That's when I would draw the line of, like, if that's
you
even
wake
remotely
up one
possible.
Morning buying Android phones?
No. Yeah, that was my main concern, is buying Android phones. Well, I have two on my desk right now. Yeah. But the idea of essentially being able to install something that could change my opinion, because then it could be like, I think, you know, a lot of people are trying these Neuralinks and it's expanding their knowledge base and they're able to think a lot more intelligently. And that's what I could imagine getting to the stage where the three of us, we become the boomers, is when the younger generations are like, oh, yeah, you could get a computer in your head and you just think smarter and you don't have to. Imagine if you didn't have to take, like, years of education and years of college, because you could just tap in,
you just do it
to the database of the planet. Yeah, Neo style, like the mate, and just be like, I know that now. I don't have to go to college. Think of the money I could save from that. And I could just become an expert in finance or expert in law just because my brain is capable of that. Anything you want. I'm an expert violinist now. If all of the younger generation started feeling comfortable with that and started implementing it, and we're left behind like, well, I don't want to implant that though, and everyone else is doing it, that's probably a similar feeling to someone like my grandma, who's hearing about, oh, grandma, there's like hundreds if not thousands of planes in the air at all the time. In fact, you're probably safer
on a
flying
plane than on a
an
road.
Airliner than you are than on the road. And she's just like, I don't want to do that. I draw the line there. That could be us when it comes to this Neuralink stuff in the future. I could imagine like the younger generations being like, I can skip so much school and training. I can save so much time and just do what I want to do. And the rest of the world is advancing and getting faster at everything and learning. And we're just left in the dust going, yeah, but that's where I draw the line. Mm-hmm. I don't want something in my head. It's too scary.
So get financially independent, folks. Get out of debt and stop spending money so you don't have to have a job in 20 years.
So I feel like,
figure out how quickly you can stop working.
That's a good point about, you know, what's new to us when we're already set in our ways and like we don't want to do something new. I feel like the only difference between that and like an airplane in this sense is that, like, from a psychological, like, at what point, if you can just play a game in your mind and say you have the graphics of things that feel like real life, like, how does that not put you in some type of psychosis where you don't know what's real and what's not? And
exactly.
That's so scary to me, because I don't want to, you know, like, what if, especially like I'm a combat vet who, if I'm playing a game and it's real life, like, I could see some real adverse effects happening. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, man. I don't see it as the same as a plane, and maybe that's my boomer brain of the cortex saying like, oh, no, it's,
well, when it's you grew up, planes were just a thing.
Yeah,
you didn't.
Yeah,
think
I
about
bet
it.
Your grandma was happy. Well, not. Let me rephrase. Hold on, that's a bad choice of words. I bet she found validation in not being on a plane when like 9/11 happened, and she's like, "Yep, that's not a see." Stay out of the planes.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember the whole, like, in the 90s, I was living on a plane. It felt like I was going back forth, because my parents had joint custody of me, and I was on different sides of the country. So every summer, every winter, back forth for years and years and years. 9/11 happens, and I spent like a good 2 years where I was like, nah, I'll chill. I'm good. Nah, it's fine. You come see me. I'm not going to go. I remember having a certain level of fear that came back there. I felt like
Or any plane crash.
Yeah.
Huh?
There's been lots, you know. It doesn't have to just be 9/11. I just mean you hear about plane crashes.
No, but people used 9/11 as an example. It's like, that should not fly. And I can see people using some type of, not excuse, but some type of major event. Like, oh, so you should not be, you know, putting chips in your brain. And at one point, you're like, when are you not the Terminator? Because you got the thing
that's what I think needs to be established are the limitations. Yeah. What can't it do? Because right now we're just hearing it can do this, it can do this, it can do this. So I need to know where the line is drawn. What is it not capable of doing? But the important thing to remember that a lot of people forget is the Wright brothers, when they first were working on the
Wright brothers,
the original Wright flyer. Some of the first people they took it on died.
Mm-hmm.
They crashed. Like they had a army general that they took on it, and he died. And one of the Wright brothers was severely hurt. It almost killed him.
Yep.
And they kept going. They kept going. They kept trying. So even if, you know, Neuralink doesn't result in anyone straight up dying, it's still evident of, like, people eventually came around, the technology improved, and people got more comfortable with it. But are there risks involved? Absolutely, yeah. There's a ton.
So, you bring up some good points, Drew, around limitations, and Randy, you bring up a good point about mixed reality. But fundamentally, for me, the reason why I'm not going to be in line to get a Neuralink, at least for the next couple decades,
on launch day,
yeah,
I'm not going to pre-order.
That's going to be the loneliest line ever. It's going to be one guy.
Woo!
No,
it's not a store; it's a stand where they just inject it.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway,
I think Hollywood's what's turned me off on this, because I picture all these Hollywood movies where
your heads blow
utopian
off
and just shoot you in your arm, and you're just like, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, no. But
Mark of the Beast,
my. Exactly. My biggest concern is the security issue. You see, I mean, there was an article how Teslas are, at least were vulnerable back in 2014 or 2015 or whatever, where that hacker had gotten like root level access to the entire fleet.
It was 2017.
Yeah. Like Tesla is very security focused, right? Like Elon has always been like, that's the biggest risk of Tesla, someone getting control of the whole fleet and making the entire fleet drive to, you know, New Hampshire or something. Like, that is the biggest.
We don't want to go there. Right.
I think the quote was Rhode Island and how, like, it would clog up the entire, you know, state's infrastructure. But anyway, like, that is the biggest problem. And every single computer, every single anything connected to the internet is going to be compromisable in some way, shape, or form. Now,
sure.
It might be, you know, Apple's, you know, secure enclave, you know, which is really heavy duty level security. That's still not the most secure thing out there. Like, the most secure things out there are, you know, government networks that are, you know, totally, you know,
off the internet.
Anything on the internet, though, is going to be fundamentally compromisable, and give someone enough time and they'll figure out how to get into anything, especially if it has so much potential, such as Neuralink. Like, there's kind of a scale. Like, if it's something that's really easy to do but has, like, almost no impact, like hacking everyone's printers to, say, subscribe to PewDiePie, like, pretty easy to do and really low impact, right? Like, the person who did it got nothing but Twitter validation. On the flip side, something that's extremely difficult to do and has a whole lot of potential to screw stuff up, like, I don't know, the FAA's computer systems, you know, just a bunch of systems that, you know, power grid systems. Like, these things have to be so difficult to break into that the time spent breaking into it will not equal the amount of monetary or financial gain that can be gained from it. But Neuralink has the potential to be the most valuable target of any kind of hacking out there. Like, imagine if even a few military generals had a Neuralink. And, you know, I remember back when the Apple Watch was a new thing, some UK parliamentary people were like, you can't wear Apple Watches in closed-door meetings because they weren't quite sure of the security risks. And by all means, I would say I've seen enough things in the news in 2020 to say maybe our Apple Watches are listening to us, but I don't know. So it's good that they're
on
the safe side.
My uncle works at a company that works on military drones, and he always told me about his boss had an Apple Watch, and they got mad at him for wearing it in meetings, so now he can't do that anymore. He has to take it off.
I'd be like, I can't work here. I need my stand ring, guys. I can't work here anymore. Sorry.
I'm forbidden to wear my Apple Watch at very specific locations on base.
That makes sense.
I believe it.
We have to, I will say, yeah, I mean, this is not classified. I will say that certain areas where I work, they have these speakers set up, and it's constantly doing shh, and it's doing everything it can to just disrupt different frequencies and stuff like that. So it's playing. It just sounds like someone left a TV on with the static, like in the horror movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But there's a very intentional output about that.
And the reason why that's in place, Randy, is because someone exploited that at some point, or someone thought that was a pretty likely exploit. And with Neuralink, there are going to be so many exploits like that. Like, I don't know. It's pretty insecure.
And the guy who said,
security is super important to us. We do everything with the mind of security. Yeah. Next question. Just like...
nothing's unhackable.
You sound like Sundar or Mark. Yeah, privacy and security, very, very, very important things. mm-hmm. Sorry, you were going to say something, Randy.
Yeah. Do you feel like at one point you'll have a... You could be sold on it? Like, change your mind and... Oh, you know what? The pros outweigh the cons, even if you acknowledge what the cons are. Do you think you can see yourself jumping on board and getting one of those implants? Or do you think, like, nah?
If I had neuro issues, that would change my mind very quickly. If there were starting to become, like, issues with my hands being unsteady or
Parkinson's,
I couldn't move
or whatever,
certain parts of my body. Parkinson. I always think of Michael J. Fox whenever I think of those type of issues. I'm like, man, I bet that guy would line up for Neuralink, no problem. He'd be like, I want this gone. I'll do anything. And I've seen a lot of people online express that. You know, some people are like, heck no, never, that's crazy. And other people are like, how soon can I get this? Like, try it on me. So it kind of, I think, has more sympathy from those who are in a form of desperate, like, there's no cure for my thing, and I want there to be a cure. So that could definitely change my mind on it, similar to how... In other podcasts we've alluded to, I don't want that right now, but I acknowledge that my opinions can change. Just looking at how my opinions have changed over the past 10 years of what I prefer and what I want to do and what I like and what I'm comfortable with has changed a lot. So I acknowledge that stuff could happen that might make me feel more comfortable with it. I think it would definitely be if it was used in more wide scale. I don't want to be the first one to do it, but if there were, you know, thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people doing it and it was working and it was proven to be safe and reliable, then I don't know. That might make me come around a little differently on it, but a mental disease would absolutely make me feel more up for it. Like, give me that so I can feel normal, you know?
You know what's interesting about that? That part is if you don't know you're not normal, you already feel normal because that's your normal and you've learned to live with it.
Yeah.
And I think for me, even if it's like, here's how it cures certain mental illnesses that people have, and I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know. When you take medicine right now, because when it comes to Parkinson's, all of them, anything that's in the brain, there's a warning when it comes to medicine and adverse effects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And besides making you physically sick some of the times, it actually have the reverse. Like antidepressants can actually make you suicidal. And that's something that doctors will tell you up front. Like you need to, you know, they start you off small with doses mm-hmm. for things like that. People who have my grandmother-in-law, she has Parkinson's. And she tried certain medicines that was actually expediting everything just kind of going up. And so she stopped. They said, hey, we want to try this different one. But she's like, I want to try it. Luckily, she did try it and she actually got better. So she's learning to live with it. But there are certain times when we get older as a whole, we just kind of adapt to a different way of living. Sure. And that becomes your new normal, and mm-hmm. and you might not want that to change for different reasons. Like our minds do change a lot as a whole, especially if you're going back 10 years. My mind's changed within the last 3 years and stuff like that. We're constantly changing, and your mind's going to change again many, many times over. And I guess my thing when it comes to when we start messing with the brain is part of its free will. Or at least the illusion of free will, depending on whoever's belief on what. But having the ability mm-hmm. that feels like you have the final say on it, mm-hmm. I don't want to have an opportunity where that's taken from you. Even if not just getting hacked and kind of screws with your brain or whatever, but like just even if it's like I have anxiety, this can take away anxiety. But there's
no, the Series 6 Apple Watch is going to take away anxiety.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Just breathe. Right. But, like, imagine having.
I am.
Why are you telling me I have anxiety? Now I have even more anxiety. It's like your heart rate's going up. Don't tell me that. Now I'm freaking out. Broken. Adverse effect, right? So, imagine having that happen on a neural level. And I'm just like. I feel like, no, I think I know the risks and I'll just stick with what it is because at least up to this point, I've made it this far with having panic attacks or something. Once you lose control of your ability to try to calm yourself down, for example, and I'm using anxiety as an example, I feel like that gives you more anxiety and you can't control like this thing's in my brain at the time. And like it has a complete adverse effect to what its purpose is because you think it's out to get you.
Right.
And no. Technology is going to take that paranoia away. No amount of anything will calm your mind. It's you. That's where you have to come to resolve that. So it's so intimidating. This is so baby new technology. It would be interesting what happens in the next couple of days or decades. But next couple of days,
decades. Well, I'm pretty sure they're the same, right? Especially
same
in
same. You know, from days to decades. It's interesting to see what will happen.
Now.
Yeah, they're done. But yep, nope, I'm not
Elon,
on board then.
Elon already has one. He reveals.
He
kind of
joked.
That's why he's
he
so smart
about
with.
That. He's like, I might already have one.
I don't.
I was like, Elon, stop making these jokes. You're not helping your case of like everyone trusting you with their brain.
They have Franz come out and throw a metal ball at Gertrude. That's their live demo. The tweets people were making about the event were hilarious, I might add. People were like, I was expecting this pig to come out and start speaking French. Where they were tweeting videos of like the pig from those Disney movies dancing. It's like Gertrude in 6 months.
If a pig started speaking French, I would lose it. Nope. Comes out. Sacre bleu. Nope, I'm done.
Or they can make it oink on command. And then they put a Neuralink in a person, and the person starts oinking. Like, oh, shoot. That's the wrong firmware update. This guy now thinks he's a pig. Sorry. Little bit of a bug there.
That's the scary part, right? Like, computers have bugs all the time. How many times does your phone have to restart?
Sign the waiver about a beta, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I will at least for the record say now I don't want it. I would not do it. And I acknowledge that my opinions could change, but if you were to ask me today, I would say no. I would say
Yeah.
Don't want it. Get that stuff away from me. I want to be able to detach from tech when I need to. There's already times now where I'm just like, I'm going to put my phone down and just walk away and just enjoy the moment. And or I'll even
But
take
Drew,
my watch
you can have
off
Twitter notifications set directly into your dopamine cortex to get you all the dopamine.
Because no, because that's
see, that,
how you
that's
get
why
ads
I'm more
in
on
your
board
brain.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Could you imagine the
Neuralink
free version
will be cheaper?
No, no.
If they put ads no in your brain.
To continue this conversation,
you,
watch this 5-second ad.
Yeah, once you get an ad in your brain, it convinces you that you're the one who actually thought about it, and then at that point you're like, oh wow,
oh, no.
Yeah, I want to. That's oh, that's no another reason.
I'm really craving a VPN right now. Oh, here's an idea I was talking about with my wife recently. If everything we experience and feel is controlled by our nervous system and how our brain interprets it, could they make broccoli taste like donuts?
Probably.
Because if that were the case, I could start to get on board. Could be
I'm
like,
vegan
can
now
because
everything
food
tastes like meat.
No, I just not just vegetables. I just mean like,
eating
could you make the perfect
yummy
diet and then custom the flavors to be like, I want salad to taste like French fries, and I want, you know, whatever healthy things you can imagine, you know, cucumbers to taste like beef.
You wouldn't even have to put anything in your mouth, though, because what was that line from The Matrix? Is this a steak? I don't know if this is a real steak, but it sure tastes good. Like, you wouldn't
oh,
even have
Nick,
to be eating.
Oh, hold on. Pause. Nick. No. Let me okay first. You do this to me all the time, I finally can do it back.
Okay.
When I bite into the steak, The Matrix tells me it's juicy, it's moist, it's delicious,
and
it's flavorful. But really, it's just a program. And you know what I've realized after all this time? Ignorance is bliss. So
I love
everyone
steak.
2035.
I will tell you right now that if they taught who I feel like who's to say that's not really a thing though, Drew, about different flavor taste, like your taste buds are different. That's why some people like the taste of things and other people, because it's like, oh, well, this tastes like
the taste buds wouldn't be different. What would be different is the way your brain interprets this.
Some people, no, that's the thing right now. Some people can't eat cilantro because it literally tastes like soap.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
That's not something I would customize.
That's part of
though
the mental
I'm
problems
saying
that we need to fix with Neuralink.
Cilantro. Yeah, if you don't like cilantro, what's
could,
wrong with
Neuralink
you?
Neuralink could fix that. Yeah. That's just
not
more
liking
of a personal,
cilantro
literal
and
personal
like
taste
palsy on the exact same level right there, folks.
There you go. That's it.
I like someone could say, for instance, I sometimes have a texture issue with avocado. That's a little different than saying I want vegetables to taste like sugar, you know. So you could enjoy all of the health benefits, but from a personal preference standpoint, when you eat it, you're like, man, this is good. But see, that kind of jumps into my point earlier about can it change opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Can it make you perceive something differently? Because if they can make you suddenly like the taste of one thing, does that mean they could – I mean, the extreme example is – this is someone you want to vote for.
I like the now, the taste of a certain gender now. Therefore, I identify as.
Right, yeah. They can just switch it to something else. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I need to know the limits.
I need
to know the barriers.
I think it should be able to, Drew, because like your brain is always morphing and changing. Like that's why our opinions are changing. Like this time last year, I was all like, "Yeah, I want a Neuralink," and now I'm like, "Yeah, I don't want a Neuralink." And like these things,
and I was like, "Yeah, Apple Music."
Yeah, no Apple Music. But your brain's always changing. It's always taking new input and morphing who you are into a kind of an average of the input. And so if they start, you know, saying, you know, vote for this person so many times in your head, or they keep inferring that, eventually, your what do they call it in Inception? Like the little top, what was the top thing? Like your
the totem.
Basis, your totem will shift from one place to where they want you, or someone is trying to get you to go, and that already happens. Like it's called gaslighting. Like you can tell someone, hey, this thing is not happening, and they're seeing it around them, and they're seeing it around them, and they think they're going crazy, but then eventually their brain just accepts what they're being told, even though reality is contradicting what they're seeing.
And that's what I need to know.
Can your brain fight against that? I mean, your brain's already susceptible to that. I mean, just look at, you know, targeted ads on Facebook or Twitter. Like, you know, they just bombard you with enough, like, you want a DJI Mavic Mini 2. You want a DJI Mavic Mini 2. You want it. And then eventually I'm just like, we need a drone, guys.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop.
Yeah. We need a drone that can fly to each of our houses.
And we can do like an Apple version of like,
bring a package
Dub,
to
like,
you or something, like a delivery drone.
Hey.
Uh-huh. Well, I think the fascinating thing about the Neuralink discussion is that the sky's the limit. Not really. I think that space is the limit. Space-time
really.
Is
even,
the limit.
Even Elon is working on space.
If you think about...
You could speed up the clock speed of the brain, though. He's talked about that, I think, in the presentation before. You could speed up the clock speed of the brain and feel like everything's going at 2x. And
you mentioned Inception.
Yeah.
Which made me think of the scene in Mombasa where basically... What would stop people who are maybe, let's just say, have a low quality of living and they don't enjoy their life and they don't enjoy people. So Neuralink can basically just 100% take over your visuals, your senses, your smell, your taste, your hearing, and just put you in a completely different world and put you in a world where you're rich or successful or in that movie of Avatar. And you just live in that and they can slow down time to the extent that you can spend 10 years in there. And then every 10 years, you spend one day in the real world just to go to your sucky job and then go back to sleep. And then those 8 hours become another 10 years.
Dude,
I feel like if I pitched
just
that to Elon,
my
he'd say...
brain right between the legs and it can't breathe right now.
Those are just neural action potentials, Randy. Don't worry.
I changed my mind.
They changed my mind.
I'm ready to do it. Let's go.
No, that's not what we want.
No, the special scene from Inception, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, is he says, they come here every day to sleep? And the guy says, no. They come to be woken up. The dream has become the reality.
The dream.
You said that to Elon, slow he'd probably be like, yeah, no, that's phone. Possible. Yeah. That could happen. Yeah. Which is why I'm like, imagine if people who are afraid of death could reach the age of 80 or 90 and be like, okay, I've only got a couple months left, so let's give the guy a Neuralink and he can live another 100 years in his imaginary world.
That's kind of sad, though. Like, reality has something special and, like, imperfect about it. Like, there's...
Are we in reality?
That's a different discussion, Drew. I think that's a talks podcast and less of a tech podcast. But...
I think it's in the same realm here.
Okay. So you don't think we live in a reality? You think we're in a simulation?
No, I think it's worth asking what is real.
Okay. Well, I was just...
Everyone needs to watch Matrix again because this battles with that same discussion of how do you define real? Is real just interpreting
what you
neurons
see,
from
what
your
you
brain?
Touch.
In which case...
Well, then... You're doing the Morpheus speech right now.
I'm doing the Morpheus speech. Because
what
it's such a
real?
Good point.
How
it's
do you
like
define
if we're
real?
Able to simulate neurons in a specific way into the exact same way we perceive reality, then how is it not real?
Mm. Well, if I wake up and I know Kung Fu, show me.
I know Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu.
Whoa.
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 Whoa. If I die in the Matrix, do you die here?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I love it.
So.
Whoa. All right.
We're a brain in a vat.
Brain you guys have made this
the
most interesting. This is the most interesting episode I think we've done so far.
And I think this is a pretty good one. We barely even mentioned
consumer tech. I'm so intimidated about it, but I'm so interested in it. And it's like we're talking about the human psyche.
Yeah.
I'm terrified, but also extremely entertained. I said the same thing watching 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh my God.
What?
My wife watches that and it's the. No. It is. I sit there.
How about that iPad Air 4?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how about them leaks? How about that? Who cares?
Who cares? We're talking
about... Would you guys get an A14 or an A14X chip in your brain?
You can't bring me back from going so off the deep end like that. Like, hey, what A chip do you want?
Actually, I want a Z12 chip in my brain. The Z12 chip.
None of it matters. Don't you understand? It's all a lie. It's all a lie. I gotta get out of here.
You can't leave.
Apple would probably make the best silicon. Apple would make the best neuro silicon.
Oh. Wait, Drew. If prison sentences, if someone was sentenced to 60 years in prison for, you know, murdering someone or something, could they do that time in 6 days in Neuralink?
No.
No.
That's a horrible idea because then their mindset wouldn't change. It would be as if the 60 years didn't happen.
They would spend the 60 years in, like, jail, in Neuralink jail. But then they get to
I know. I'm saying that's a terrible idea. Because then they would wake up and realize, like, oh, it's only been a week. I'm going to go back to what I was doing.
I don't know.
I don't know. That just seems like an extreme misuse of the electric chair at that point. It's like... Instead of just killing you, we're going to mentally strain you to death. Well, I guess maybe you could argue that's what a prison sentence is now.
I mean, yeah. A long enough prison sentence is practically a death sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This is getting into the moral debate.
Welcome to Tales of Black Mirror.
Using Neuralink as a weapon.
That's every Neuralink user into a fully trained combat vet, like, who's just ready to, you know, go at it.
Like,
that's how the plot of any superhero movie happens, is that they're trying to make some DOD superhuman thing, and then you become the Green Goblin or something, and then all of a sudden, like, that's the plot of Spider-Man 1, the first one, the original.
So I guess if you were sentenced to 60 years, but they're Neuralink years, not real years... What is going on in these 60 Neuralink years?
You're literally in prison. You're in a cell. You're doing exactly as you would in real-life prison.
So it's basically saying you have a life sentence, sentence is over, you can continue to live your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could see 60 years in Neuralink prison of them playing, "It's the song that never ends," go around for 60 years, and you'll come out a changed man. You'll come out broken. You'll come out.
So they're hoping that after the week, you come out and you're like,
I'm well, so then you go back to do your other sentence because you're like, we sentenced you to 2 life terms. So you just go to 2 Neuralink prisons for life terms, and you come out, and it's been like a month, and then that's pretty much it. But now you're broken inside because in your brain you've gone through 2 life. Times worth of
and maybe in this Neuralink you can you're broken. Window screen.
You're like the Joker, and it just nobody makes a difference anymore.
Like the ultimate torture, though, would be watching your mistakes in slow motion, right?
What?
And so,
well, not if they approve of them. You're like, don't regret that.
Mistakes you regret, maybe not like the one that landed you in jail, but like you
so know. That's just hell at that point. You're
pretty
just
much
reliving.
Like, we're getting close. We're getting close.
No, I don't Neuralink want hell in my brain.
The other thing you could do on the positive side with the time perceiving difference is that if there was incredibly complex math problems for SpaceX that they wanted to solve, and they felt like this is going to take months and months of work, they do it in the simulation. And instead of it taking months and months, it takes a day because a team of engineers all synced up their Neuralinks and spent 12 months in a simulation solving the problems and then come out with the answers.
This would take the fun out of escape rooms away. When you
the ultimate escape
I think
room.
That's the biggest concern. We just went from like prison sentence to hell to advancement in technologies to... Escape rooms wouldn't be as fun.
It wouldn't be as fun anymore. So, which fake Apple leak is your favorite this past week?
The one that gets me my iPhone sooner.
Which leak is your favorite BSer?
Ooh, salty there.
Yeah, they don't get to decide.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. We have a lot of good ones. Let's go over the leaks real quick, because I'm kind of confused on the iPhone side. What,
so are the leakers.
What are we expecting when?
I don't think the leakers know exactly. We're just all confused.
There's no unison anymore. This is why I love it, because there's no consistency anymore. So no matter what happens come keynote time, I'm as surprised as John or Max or who. Like, I'm going to be just as shocked.
What is Ming Chi?
We're all going to be shocked together.
What is Kuo saying, though? Like, he's been drowned out. Like,
he stayed pretty consistent.
Yeah, what is...
He hasn't said much recently.
Okay.
He stayed pretty much consistent
in November
to what he said
not?
Last year.
Okay.
You're getting the pros in November, most likely.
Don't say that. I'm using an iPhone 10 full-time, guys. I need my iPhone soon.
Yeah, you sold your 11.
I did. So, I guess... We haven't even talked about this live on air. I need to talk about the time that I've cracked an iPhone, and it was not recorded, unfortunately, because I think it would make a humorous video.
I thought the mics were still on when it all happened.
I really wish it was, because that would have been amazing. So we just finished recording Taylor.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, Nick has not watched the episodes he's not in, because we addressed it last week.
Oh, you did. Okay.
But go ahead, Nick.
I don't want to waste.
Let's hear from the source.
Basically, I tripped on some foam, cut my stomach on a piece of plywood, and smashed the back of my phone into the mic stand, which is metal. And
tell them
if you had Neuralink. Tell them and your screen. I made that mistake.
And then I had to stare at my broken back for the entirety of the EV episode, looking at the crack and just sobbing internally. And my screen
was... No, he
was,
screamed. He cried out loud. He went, "No!" And then when I call him later on that day, "Hey Nick, how you doing?" He's like, were you able to get this video, whatever? He's like, "No, I've been too depressed." And he was so serious about it. His tone dropped and everything.
I was pretty
yeah, I would be too.
Yeah.
I had a dream I broke my iPhone and I was sad the next morning.
Was it the Neuralink dream? No. Mm-hmm. Oh, dreams would be totally awesome with Neuralink.
You could set your dreams.
Yeah, lucid dreaming. Mm. Anyway,
well, every
so
time
iPhone...
you're in the Neuralink, you are dreaming.
What is get my totem really? Out. This is sounding a.
Guys, I'm too stupid for this.
Receiving of neurons.
Anyway, so the
I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. I'm kind of
Apple was able to replace.
That's a bad word, but you knew what I was going to say. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of dumb about this stuff.
There you go.
So Apple was able to send out a replacement unit via AppleCare. Got there the next business day. I was so
which
happy.
Which I sold the next day.
Which I then promptly sold, because I pretty much always try to sell my phone in August, right? Like, it's been a thing for years and years. Like, sell a phone in August for September. And so I was
Why so early?
Not really. I mean, middle of August is the time I sold my 10S Max last year, and I used an iPhone 8 Plus for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, but we don't even know when the event is, technically.
I know.
It could be October.
But I'm also using an iPhone 10, which isn't unusable. So it's kind of like, yeah, I can survive for up to 3 or 4 months with this. It won't be the end of the world.
But that's it? Only 3 or 4 months, and then that's when the phone's no longer usable?
I don't know. It's going to need a battery replacement.
That's when
I think.
It's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Nick is battery. Trying so hard to show. Like, I get the challenge, and I appreciate the challenge. Like, you know what? This phone's good enough. I don't need the latest and greatest. But secretly, deep down inside his little Neuralink brain, he's like, I need it! And he wants it so bad.
I was just really happy that I was able to sell the phone, and it was, like, in brand-new condition, right? And so I got a real good price on it, and, like, I didn't lose much money. I think I lost, like, $200 or $300 over the entire year of having the iPhone 11 Pro Max. So I was like, that's worth it. It's worth 3 months of pain, but I really wish it was coming out in September and not November. Even so much so that I'm like, maybe I just need to get the iPhone 13 or 12. What are we on, 12?
Would you get the regular 12 before the Pro?
It depends on how annoyed I get with the iPhone 10 and how quickly the 12 comes out. So,
okay.
I don't know. It depends.
That's going to be your Neuralink prison, Nick. You're going to have to use old iPhones.
Just last year's iPhone. I'm on a XS Max.
Well, everyone has the latest and greatest cool. Hey, Drew, look at our cool bokeh video. Nick is going to be like, just can't handle it.
Be like, it's totally fine, guys.
Nick's prison this for is... 60 years is he has to use an iPhone 6S.
It works just fine. It's only kind of bent.
Oh, God. That does sound like hell. Almost as hell, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
60 years. That's a long time. That's a very long time. It's I think I have around 60 years left. Yeah.
Wow.
You're giving yourself way too much credit. 2020 ain't done yet. Just wait till 2021.
My biggest fear in 2020 is December 31st, 2020, when the clock is at 11:59. And when it hits, it's going to turn to 11:60. We're not done. We're not done.
December 32nd.
What do they call? What do they call overtime in sports? Like, 2020 ain't done yet. Overtime.
Yeah, we're,
that keeps going.
Something else, like just I know it's breaking. By the time this comes out, it's not so breaking. But about like about Black Panther actor, so sad. Like that's not even COVID related, but just. 2020, man.
That was too far.
That's too much.
I was so out of left field, too. I know. I totally did not see that coming at all.
And it was just like, bang.
I was really sad. That was messed up.
Yeah. That's so... I can't, 2020, you've taken everything!
Not yet.
Yeah, I know. It just keeps getting worse.
Stop it!
Ready for this year to be over. But I am on a much lighter, less important note. Ready for the iPhones to be out and done with.
Yes. So we can start talking about
the iPhone. Finally put it in everybody's face.
I think we know. iPhone 13 is going to be the most boring iPhone in a long, long time. That might not age well as a statement, but. Generally, it's like, okay, we're going to get the LTPO display panel. So if we don't get 120 hertz this year, we'll probably most definitely get it next year.
That's what you said last year.
I don't expect new... No, I don't think I did.
I don't think you did either, but that was your hope.
I don't think so. That was a theory, but it's not... Now we know they won't have LTPOs. 120 hertz OLED was still very, very new back last year. Now it's pretty common, but... other than that, which I know to both of you is not a big deal in the first place, I don't expect new design or new form factors because we're getting a bunch of new ones this year, which means that the following year is probably going to be the same. Slightly better chip, slightly improved cameras, no ports? Is that... it sounds like it's going to be very stale next year.
I think we better find something else to talk about before.
Maybe that will be the phone that they really push the AR stuff with their wearable.
Even harder.
It syncs with your Neuralink, and now you have AR experience with LiDAR in your Neuralink.
Oh, of course.
Yikes.
Naturally. Because, yes. I feel like...
I think Apple Silicon will be the talk of the town next year.
To be fair, I think this year's iPhones technically would be boring if there wasn't so much controversy about all these leaks and stuff like that. I feel like the news of who's right and who's wrong is more interesting than the phone itself.
Exactly. Yeah.
In my opinion, I
think the phone itself is pretty major when it comes to year-over-year upgrades. This is one of the bigger ones.
Why? Because we're getting sharp edges? We're getting boxy design?
OLED has never been default. That's a first. It's the first time we're leaving the curved chassis since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had that for 6 years now. We're having one of the smallest flagships in a long, long time.
I'm so happy.
In 4 years. They've not made a phone this small since 2016. And the one from 2016 was just an updated design language of the 5, which was from
2012.
It was not a flagship.
So
I mean...
No, it wasn't a flagship. So this is the smallest flagship we're seeing in like 8 years. It's also the biggest display on an iPhone ever. So we're topping XS Max, which was the previous biggest display in 2 years ago. So OLED's never been standard. The squared edges haven't been a thing on the flagships for over 5 years. And A14 chip is the first 5-nanometer chip design, mm-hmm. which means that internally this is a big leap for processing speed. It's a big leap for design language. It's a big leap for display quality. It's a big leap for form factors. And I didn't even mention 5G because of it. But 5G in regards to comparative to last year or the year before that, pretty big. I won't say it's as big as 2017, but it's bigger than the last 2 years.
Yeah. That's fair.
That's pretty big.
I guess the my interest in getting a new iPhone has gone from like counting my pennies and birthday money and making sure that, you know, I can, you know, barely afford the nice one with the, you know, but I have to compromise on storage or whatever. And now it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to get the new iPhone. When is it? I got to wait till November. Okay.
When am I getting the new iPhone is the question.
I know. And it's like, okay, got to wait till November now.
I don't think I'm that excited. Like, I'm excited for the upgrade, but like it's almost like expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more excited about just seeing Mac with the Apple Silicon.
There's a lot more to talk about there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more interested, like, I'm looking at Big Sur right now, and I'm just looking at the icons. I'm looking at how everything's rounded on the OS or on the UI, but I got sharp corners. And I'm looking at my because I'm using Logic, and Logic did an update to Mac OS 11, so it's still it wants to give me the sharp edges, but the bubbles are still there, so it looks out of place. And so I'm just looking at the icons, and I'm like, man, the UI is very intentional like this, and I'm thinking, like, how's the hardware is going to reflect to look like an iPad, too, where it's not, like, we're not doing sharp 90-degree angles anymore or something. And I'm just interested in seeing performance, aesthetics. I think I'm just genuinely more excited to see a Mac refresh just to see what they can do with their everything in-house there. And maybe because I'm just in need of a new Mac anyway, but I'm more excited about Mac this year, even if it's just a teaser. Here's what you can buy at the end of the year. Okay, fine, but like I want to see it. I'm excited about that.
It feels like the next couple of years or could be when the Mac starts peaking in a way, kind of like how we talk about Apple Watches and iPhones peaking and kind of running out of things to update and change. Though there's plenty of room for improvement in the Mac line when it comes to updating, and it doesn't have Face ID, it doesn't have thinner bezels, it doesn't have Apple Silicon in it, and it's very much a wild card because it's like, okay, Apple's confirmed it. It's no longer speculation. We know it's happening, and Tim has said it's going to take less than 2 years. The first one's at the end of this year, which means that we're probably going to see the bulk of them next year, and we have to imagine from what they've said that the reason they're switching to Apple Silicon is because they're better. They wouldn't be switching if they were just as good as Intel or just as good as AMD. So that has everyone thinking, like, how much better are we talking? You know, like, what kind of performance gains are we getting? So, yeah, that has a lot of people just like...
If you look at the iPad as a reference, if you actually look at iPad iPhone, but specifically, like, for me, iPad, like, as a reference of, like, how much better and how quickly it just doubled down on its improvement year after year, It's phenomenal to like put that in an actual workhorse power, like a power station that's meant to just render everything in lifetime 8K raw, and it doesn't even have a fan in it because it doesn't need it. Is just what? Where's your Neuralink? How are you doing that? How's that happening? I'm so excited about it. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what I think more of our coverage will be moving forward.
I listened to Steve Jobs' biography by Walter Isaacson again on my big long road trip through the wildfires. And the thing that really struck me out of that is Apple has always been, like, their whole design team's always been about minimizing the fans, right? Like, there's a whole, like, chapter basically about the G4 Cube that, like, didn't have a fan, and like, the Macintosh was jokingly referred to as the oven because, like, it didn't have a fan either. The OG Macintosh didn't have a fan. And it's just like...
Apple hates their fans.
They do hate their fans, especially John. They unfollowed him and blocked him. But, but I don't know.
Wow.
I am so excited. Well, they put us in the Apple ad, so they like us. I guess we're an acceptable fan.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I could totally see them wanting to move to the Apple Silicon so they can remove the fans and, you know, get even thinner, even quieter, even more minimalistic, fewer vents, fewer holes, fewer everything. Because a fan is a pretty big a component that requires a lot of design compromises. And if you can remove that...
It's the only moving part of my iMac.
Well, that and the hinge.
Yeah, it doesn't move.
It does move.
It stays there. It don't move.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
I don't know either. Kind of it's been a long episode.
Like, you guys had this weird, like, except the hinge. Nah. Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'm over here just swapping out.
It's like saying
I'm
the iPhone has a moving part because you pick it up.
Yep.
That's not a moving part.
That's a move. Actually, it does have.
Yeah.
The iPhone 11 Pro Max has three moving parts: optical image stabilizations and little OIS is moving the cameras around. They're moving parts.
I'm about to block you, Nick.
At least,
please do. Honestly,
at least I know we're getting better webcams.
There's that.
At least we get better webcams.
Hopefully,
been wanting this for a decade.
Hopefully,
2020 iMac got one, and that's not even Apple Silicon.
But I'm thinking that the new thinner MacBook replacement device with the Apple architecture is going to have a 144p camera, just because.
No.
All of the thinness.
No.
Tim Cook, I wonder if Tim Cook uses his iPad for most of his meetings, because I'm sure he has like a bunch of them at his desk, and he's like,
most of his tweets are from Twitter for iPad.
I wonder if he's the one actually.
I think he uses that mostly,
but yeah, I mean I do too. I mean, I'm iPad 9 times out of 10 anyway, but for video calls and stuff, the iPad has the better camera.
Do you think that they still left Steve Jobs' office alone exactly as he left it?
Ooh, I don't know. I would imagine so.
Like, he has the same 2011
iMac. Did he have an office?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah.
It wasn't. They left it on.
Seems like the guy that would, like, walk around bare feet and sit on people's desks and stuff all the time.
He did that, too. But he also did have an office in the executive suite.
His desk is probably, like, a janitor's closet now.
It's probably a little museum shrine to Steve. They just didn't touch
2011 iMac. This was the way he left his office. Like, it's
I can totally see that. That's probably a thing.
They don't let anyone in there, so.
No, they have the guy dust it once a week, but other than that.
Also, they just get rid of his fingerprints.
I doubt it.
Sorry. Can't do that. We need to have the fingerprints.
We need the fingerprints.
Yeah.
Because that's,
I think.
Important.
They probably cleaned it up. Well, he wasn't. They're at the Apple campus now, the spaceship.
Yeah, they left
wasn't
it
around
at the
for that.
OG campus.
Even more of a reason why they would leave his desk alone then.
Exactly. It's not.
So they're just going to do nothing with that old campus? They just leave
it? Not everybody's
just his office.
It's my understanding they didn't all move out.
They're still using the infinite loop.
Yeah, one infinite loop is still being utilized. It's just
where
not
the non-important people have to go. So like all the important, you know, designers and developers stuff, they can go to the cool campus, but you know, HR, they're at
the people who work on the iMac go there. They're not important.
But the airport team went there after they canceled
it. One infinite loop is where they designed the four wheels for the Mac Pro. I mean, that's real innovation right there. Coming out of there.
You got to get the alien grade.
But it's the shape of the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
That was the irony of the whole thing.
That was the irony.
One guy was lost on his way to work, and he was looking at Apple Maps, and he's like, the Apple campus. That's a circle. We should make an iMac wheel like that. Or Mac Pro.
Should make more
iMac
circles.
Wheels,
IMAX.
That's a moving part.
Four wheels at the bottom of the standard iMac thing. That thing would be so tippy. It would roll everywhere.
What if I want to roll my iMac around?
You can't do that currently.
Across the floor.
I want iMac. I want the next Mac Pro wheels to be the hockey puck from iMac in 97. It's like 97 when they did the redesign iMac, the first iMac. You get your little hockey puck, make them wheels. Yeah, I get behind that. Do you think they'll make them friendly again, like just aesthetics like, ooh, we're going to make it colorful and friendly and inviting because
no
color.
They like the premium aluminum look, I think. I think they'll still lean into that. I have a feeling the first silicon MacBook is going to look just like the current MacBook.
I want to see what our new designs are going to look like without Johnny Ive's influence around anymore, because I think everything we're getting right now is still with very much him involved, even if it's just things that they've planned out in advance. Show me what the next... Huh?
Phil Schiller. I just read the biography, so this is all fresh in my head, but Phil Schiller was one of Steve's OG picks from he's one of the first people Steve brought on board on the Apple turnaround thing. Phil has been approving product designs and software experience stuff for years.
And yeah, but I mean,
he's just Phil. I know.
Phil Schiller is gonna listen. If Craig was able to be involved with the design as he is with now the UI, that would be kind of. I'm curious what that would look like because I'm not hating what happened with macOS, for example. The more I keep using it, the more I'm like, this feels clean. This feels light. This feels like the refresh that it needed. I can't wait for the actual release where they update everything with apps and stuff like that. But just pure aesthetic. What does it look like now that the old guard has pretty much moved on? I want to see what does a 2020 or 2030 Apple look like? We know what the 2000s look like, 2010s and the 90s. Right. So the last 30 years with the big influence of Steve, we've seen that. Now, how's it going to look moving on? It's crazy to think that's been 30 years pretty much since this whole renaissance of Mac products and stuff like that kind of kicked off. And now it's like, that's a career.
That's half a Neuralink life sentence.
That's half the Neuralink life sentence. Those are career links that people obviously are going to move on because it's like they did their time and now they're going to go into retirement and now it's time for that new blood. And that's half the Neuralink life sentence right there. Yeah.
Wow.
This is the weirdest episode I think we've ever done.
This is. I'm not in favor, for the record, I'm not in favor of putting an Apple Watch charging puck into my skull. For now.
No?
For the record, I... never mind. Who's that? For the record, I got weirdos outside my window. They need Neuralink to help them GPS. Oh, I was going to say, for the record, I changed my mind about Neuralink three times in my head before I said anything out loud, so... Yeah.
See, and if you had a Neuralink, that would have all been recorded, and people would have been like,
"No, Randy, before you said it, I have people don't want to know.
People don't want to know what I think about. That's the scary part. You don't want my nightmares.
Very fair.
Well, they do. Data is power, right?
Data. Something like that. Data is power. And data breaks.
And data.
Security is power. And security breaks.
And security breaks. Data is. So about these Apple leaks. No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so.
Could be getting an Apple Watch refresh very soon.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that. Do you think there'll be edition type stuff? Do you think we'll be getting a.
And there's our time, Nick.
Okay. All right, folks. It's good seeing you. Thanks for joining us. It's been a great show. I've been Ghost Nick because the real Nick is still dead. Coming to you.
Wait.
Before you go,
I got a question about Ghost Nick.
Yes, sir.
Does Ghost Nick have any more drone footages that's going to be utilized for our shows? People have been telling. I don't know if they've reached out to you guys, but they've told me. Mm-hmm. About the these last few episodes with the drones and the this and the that and the so I just wondering if we have a catalog of stuff that you've captured that no one's seen yet. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, that answers my question.
Me, Ghost Nick, and Ghost Steve Jobs have been hard at work developing new products. that involve drone shots and products. Maybe cooks. Maybe. We'll have to release them sparingly.
Epic's developer account was banned.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty
amusing.
Thanks
for watching.
Yeah. Just end on that.
Fortnite's officially dead.
Yeah.
Bye, oh, everyone. That's how we should end it. We were right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Dead on iOS, at least.
This is going to be the Bye, shortest Epic. Clip ever that Nick makes.
I know,
this,
right?
Like, oh, Fortnite
seconds.
Clip. Fortnite's dead. All right.
Bye, everyone. Have a good week.
Bye.
Take care.
Ba-ba-ba.